Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. In fact, got a brand new issue up right now, including my conversation with novelist and screen and television writer Drew Chapman. It was a great conversation. Drew had some fascinating things to say about the world, about what it is to write for screen, for this big screen and little screen, and what it's like to write, to also take that writing love to the printed page for the first time. And it's just a great conversation. So you can find that the most recent issue at authormagazine.org. And we're funded by the wonderful Pacific Northwest Writers Association. They've been supporting writers from Penda Publications since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA at pnwa.org. All right, listen, I love my guest today. I'm really looking forward to talking to her. So let's just get right into it. Dame Lee Miltier is an internationally known and celebrated entrepreneur, visionary, best-selling author, award-winning professional speaker, TV personality, and intuitive business mentor. Lee provides business and success advice and resources to nearly 250,000 people around the world. She's authored 11 books, including Success is an Inside Out Job, which it is. That was my own little edition. It's just called Success is an Inside Out Job, Spiritual Power Tools for Successful Selling, and her most recent, Reclaim the Magic. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
You know, Lee, you do a lot of things, but you focus around the question of success and helping people, I assume organizations, find success. I think it's a relevant question for writers, because when I go to writers' conferences, the question of success seems to sort of hover around those as everybody is looking to get it in the form of the publishing contract or the big agent and so on. What drew you to the topic of success? You have quite the sort of intuitive psychic background. What drew you to the question of what success is and what isn't it? What it isn't, I should say.
Well, I grew up very, very poor. And so it was this huge motivation to kind of get the hell out of Dodge and be independent. And the only way I could do that was to figure out how to leverage my skills and talents. And because I just knew that I would never make it in some kind of traditional world. I'd be like fired instantly as a secretary. Right. In high school, everything, you know, they presented me as a possibility. I went, well, I can't do any of those things. So I just had this really burning desire at a very, very young age to really be independent. And the only way to be independent is to earn money. And so I was very into how do you earn money? How do you leverage your talents? So I spent my whole life in the library just reading about success. Where everybody else was out raising Cain, I was in the library literally reading books like Think and Grow Rich and The Magic of Believing, and just stuff that just said anybody can be successful, because I had no thoughts as a child of you know, what I could do. And in fact, Bill, it was written about me not too terribly long ago that I was the least likely person to ever become successful, because I grew up with no money, no contacts, no real education, and no direction. And that was all true. So, you know, desire is the starting point for all achievement.
Oh, it's, you know, it's really, it's the source of everything, really, isn't it? I mean, because it is the fuel that keeps you moving. Curiosity, desire, interest, that internal drive. In fact, here's something interesting, Lee. There's a book called Drive by Daniel Pink. And I'll be very brief, but I think this will resonate with you. And in it, he describes this experiment they did with monkeys in the 1950s, where they would give these monkeys these three-part puzzles to solve. You know, you take the peg out, put it through the hoop, and whatever it was. But it was a little three-part or four-step puzzle. And the monkeys got faster and faster and faster at figuring out how to do it. They just gave them the puzzle, and each monkey figured it out. And then they did the most logical thing. They said, well, we're going to give them a reward of a banana every time they finish it, and they'll go faster because they know when they finish it, they'll get a banana. But you know what happened? They went slower. The reward of the banana actually slowed them down, whereas the reward of simply finishing the puzzle sped it up. What do you think of that?
I totally understand that.
Yeah. Because it wasn't money you wanted, it was independence. You didn't actually want the money. You wanted the feeling of independence, which is internal, not external, even though the money is external.
Yes. And, you know, the truth is, you know, we make money and then, you know, you're happy for like 2 minutes and then, you know, it's or just do something else.
Right,
and
right.
It's never really the money. It's the feeling of the reward. It's the feeling of the accomplishment that I did that. And, you know, I'm also an artist. I paint, and I used to be a full-time professional photographer. And, you know, so I have a very artist mentality. And, you know, writers and artists are very similar in the sense of, you know, we work very hard. We put our heart and guts into things. And often one of the challenges is the money. It's, you know, the starving artist. You know, I've written this great thing and, you know, I can't get it published, or I can't get enough money for it, or, you know, I've gotten publisher's checks that I thought, my gosh, you know, well, we might be able to have dinner with that. You know, it really is, you have to expand your mind of how do you leverage this talent that you have in a totally different way than other people are leveraging it. And it's challenging to do that. You've really got to stretch your mind of what could I do different but the same? And that's really literally the question. What can I do different, you know, to promote myself or market my materials? But, you know, it's the same as everybody else. You really have to step up to the plate and be different.
You know what you're talking about, which is something I found to be the case with writers a lot, which is what you're, if to rephrase even, is that you're saying bring the same creativity that you apply to the work, whether it's painting, the kind of creative curiosity that you bring to the canvas or to the blank page, bring that to the marketing too. Let that engine serve you in the promotion of it. Does that make sense?
Isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. You're a million percent right. It's very interesting to me that, you know, writing the book is hard enough, but actually promoting it and getting into the world is harder. And
for a lot of people,
it can be done. But it really is a matter of, you know, you just have to do that. I mean, your book, no matter how fabulous it is, no matter, you know, what you're doing, if people don't know about it and they're not interested in it, they're just very busy people. They just won't have time.
Well, let's move some paper then, because Reclaim the Magic, book number 11, are my numbers correct?
That is correct.
Okay, Reclaim the Magic. Wonderful book. And let's just start just with the title. First, what is the magic that needs to be reclaimed? What is that magic?
The magic really is the passion and enthusiasm that one can have for life. It is connecting yourself to what I call unseen forces. Unseen forces can be your creativity. It can be your spiritual connection. It can be, you know, it's just that part of you that has spark and life and enjoyment. And most people are really just living their life day by day, kind of dragging themselves through it. And there's just, life is this huge adventure. And the more fun that you have and the more permission you give yourself to reclaim the magic about yourself, we get very jaded and often, you know, depressed about life. And when you get like that, what happens is there are many possibilities that you could take advantage of that you never see. You just, as you're scanning the landscape of life, you're like blind. Whereas when you're in that zone of, you know, excitement and passion about what you do, and that you're kind of willing to do whatever it takes, it's like opportunities pop up for you. One of the things, you know, I'm a professional speaker. One of the things I always tell people, and they don't quite understand what I mean, but I say success comes to me. And the reason success comes to me is, one, I recognize it. I can smell money. I can smell opportunities. I have a great sense, great, great intuition of this project will work, this project will not work. You know, where to invest your mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial energy on a regular basis. And, you know, a lot of people will invest it in nonprofit kind of things. But my book, Reclaim the Magic, the subtitle is The Real Secrets to Manifesting Anything You Want. And it really is about this is your one life. And whether we want to talk about reincarnation or not, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
This is the life right now. And why not really get clear about what you want to experience in this life? And then, like, go for it. Full force, go for it.
Yeah. You know, I love that message. And when I talk to writers, one of the things I've come to understand is one of the differences between the writers who are having professional publishing success and those who are still sort of struggling or starting out even more particularly is the professional writer knows to value their own curiosity. That, in other words, because they're curious about something, just curious, just personally curious, it's worthy of their full attention. Where I see in a lot of sort of beginning and more tentative writers, they still can't quite believe that just their interest alone means that that thing could lead somewhere. That just that spark of I'm curious about that is worthy of their full attention because they say, well, everybody's curious about something, so what? Does that make sense?
And that's a very valid point. For me, the secret of writing is to write what I'm passionate about, what I know about. And, you know, of course, I was curious about that, too. Yes, I mean, the most important thing of life is your story. And, you know, everything in our whole life evolves around stories. So even though I teach, you know, in Reclaim the Magic, I tell lots of stories.
Yeah.
And I will share as a professional speaker, and I've done this over 30 years, it's fascinating to me that, you know, people will come up to me, maybe they saw me 20 years ago, but they remember not what I was teaching, but the stories that I told.
Yep.
And
that's what they remember.
Absolutely. And so I just spoke to a bunch of writers recently, and they were, you know, more kind of technical, you know, they're just trying to teach things. And I'm like, look, information doesn't move people. Emotion does. You have got to put in stories. And, you know, don't be making up stories. I mean, you should have enough ammunition in your own life to write real stuff. And when we are authentic, when we are, you know, integrity with, you know, sharing, people bond with you. And when they bond with you, they want to buy everything you have, read what you have, listen to your stuff. You know, what's next? What's next?
Yeah.
And just giving them the facts doesn't move people into that bond with you situation.
Nobody cares about facts. They really don't.
Is that the truth?
No, they really care about stories. No, in fact, one of my favorite books is called A Course in Miracles, and they said something brilliant about facts. They said facts are strangely meaningless. You can't debate a fact. The only question about a fact is how you interpret it. It's the interpretation of the fact that is the story, is everything. The fact itself means nothing. It's the interpretation of the fact. Someone's dead. That's a fact. What do you mean? What do you think about it? That's the story.
And, you know, I think in the beginning of my writing, I know I went through massive insecurity, like, who am I to write?
Sure.
Who cares what I have to say?
Right.
And I really did in the beginning, which, thank God, nobody published. I really did, you know, do a lot of facts and figures, and this is how you do this. And I was bored myself reading it. And then, you know, the rejections are just, you know, flowing in. And then, you know, the universe had its own way of fixing all that. I wasn't smart enough to back up anything on my computer at the time, apparently. And a big lightning storm hit, and my computer totally died with the book.
Wow.
And wow. I'm devastated until, you know, like 5 years later where I find this box of notes. And I'm looking at this going, oh, my, you know, thank you, Lord. Nobody, you know, publish this. I mean, it's an embarrassment.
Right.
Because my insecurity is screaming in the writing of quoting too many other people. You know, it's the story was just about, I got to teach you something, because if I teach you something, then you might think I'm smart.
Yeah.
But if you just get real and share things, like I joked with you before we started our live show, that I had to wait for my parents to die to write this book, Reclaim the Magic, because I said some brutal things about them, which were all true, which, you know, while they were alive, was a little uncomfortable. They were the true muggles of life. They didn't quite understand. They had a very sensitive child who was very psychic and and, you know, they just thought it was all BS. And I survived all that in spite of their naysaying. And I actually became very successful, even though they thought all that was a waste of time. So,
you know what's great about having parents who think what you love is a waste of time? You know what's, what is wonderful about that? You have to decide for yourself that it's worthy and not depend on the praise of others.
Exactly.
Weren't you lucky? Weren't you lucky?
I was lucky. I didn't feel so lucky at the time, though.
No, I bet
don't mind
you didn't.
Telling you. Bill,
hey, I was going to say, we have a caller who wants to talk. I think wants to ask you a question. Would you like to? Would you
absolutely
like to hear from
them? Let's go.
Let's see. So, hello, caller. How are you doing?
I'm well, Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's Jeff. I don't recognize your number. How are you doing?
Good. I forgot to press the #82, but here, let me move on. It's a short show. Thank you again for taking my questions. Hi, Lee. It's such a pleasure and honor to speak with you today. Here's my question, and I do ask this often of a lot of my other writer friends. Even if I've known them for a while, it kind of dawns on me to say, let me ask them this question. Was there a particular aha moment for you when you said to yourself, finally with conviction, damn it, I am, in capital letters, a writer?
Did you ever have such a moment, Lee?
I did. I wrote a book. One of my first books was called Think and Grow Rich, and it got sued immediately by the Napoleon Hill organization for the trademark and Grow Rich. Me and 90 other writers exactly at the same time. Let me take that back. 306 writers all at the same time, and.
Wow.
My publisher and I were sitting there, you know, pulling our hair out, and he was so upset. And I said, "Oh, this is good, because now we can rename the damn book, because it's not selling at this title." And we renamed the book "Success is an Inside Job," and it started selling like crazy. And for the very first time, I really did realize that I was a writer, and that people benefited from what I had to say. And I was dumbstruck, actually, because there's a part of you that feels like a fake. And when that happened, I mean, the letters started coming in and speaking engagements, and I really was blessed that, you know, we didn't leave it as the other title, because the other title was, you know, selling like very little.
Yeah. And so that was the moment you said, people, I can reach people. And let me ask you this. Were you somebody, because you're, look, I'm sure our listeners can hear what a bubbly, engaging personality you are just as a person here over the phone. But were you always someone who, because you were, I know that early in your life you understood you were pretty good at sales. So you were good one-on-one with people. I assume you had confidence just in person. Is that fair?
I really didn't have any confidence until I was like late high school. I was very shy. But I was very good at selling things because of the I had to totally believe in it, and I was so enthusiastic about it. I literally sold things just from the energy and the enthusiasm of it.
So you must have believed in yourself, and you must have understood the person to person experience on some intuitive level by the time you were in your early adulthood.
Yes, I understood that, and I also understood that speaking in front of, you know, in groups, the more you had, the more energy was in the room. The more energy was in the room, I could harness that energy.
Right.
You know, a speaker on stage literally channels the energy of the room.
That's right. You
determine the energy. It's not the other way around. I mean, some speakers think the energy of the room is, they determine it, but that's not true. The way that you present yourself, the audience feels it and they respond. And
yeah.
I felt very, very excited about having the opportunity to share information that had worked for me, and I knew if it would work for me, it would work for them.
Right. And so you could do that. And so it's an interesting thing to... But the thing about the book, of course, is that you aren't there. That as a writer, you personally don't get to use your voice. You don't get to have your energy. You don't get to have your gestures. You have to rely just on the language on the page. And I say that as someone who always enjoyed performance and enjoyed the sort of public life, that requires a different kind of leap, doesn't it? Just trusting the language itself.
It does. And so... You've read my book, so my story is the second chapter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's quite brutal, actually.
Yes, it is.
I had had an editor. By the way, all writers, you must have very, very good editors. And so I had this editor who had worked with me on another book I wrote called Spiritual Power Tools for Successful Selling, and she was fantastic. And it would have been a couple of years in between. But when I started working with her on this book, she wanted me to take out that chapter. She said it's upsetting and it's so brutal and it's, you know,
it's almost scary. No, it's great.
And I said to her, oh, hell no, we're not taking that out. And not only that, I actually fired her because I realized, I let her go very gently, but I had to let her go because I realized we weren't on the same page.
Yeah.
If she thought the stories were not important for the book, wrong editor for me now.
Yeah. No, that the story is your little. It's like a little mini memoir in a way, and they're great stories. And I think I think it's important for the book because the book is Reclaim the Magic, and part of the magical nature of your story is how sort of guided and protected in a way you were by something else. You know, your life, the right person at the right time, whether it was the dogs in the river with you when you're trying to kill yourself, or Samantha, this woman who helped you heal a wart and then gave you spiritual guidance. There was always that sense of a magical relationship to life helping you along. So I think you'd be crazy to get rid of that story.
It set the tone for the book because I knew if people got through chapter two, they'd read the rest of the book.
Yeah.
And I will say that my life is still like that. There is always magical guidance, and I seem to show up at the right place at the right time. Not that bad stuff doesn't happen. It does. It's just my eye now is on, okay, something bad happened. How do I learn from that and use it, and how do I share it with other people?
Right. Yeah, you see, you want to immediately use it, don't you? You just immediately want to say, how can I use this? I don't want to sit around and moan about it. How is it of use to me and other people?
Yes, I write two e-zines each week for different websites that I have. And, you know, sometimes I think, I have to write another e-zine. it's exhausting. And,
yeah.
You know, what the hell am I going to write about? But as soon as I say that, the great thing that happens for me is like, well, what happened this week? You know, what did I learn? You know, I went to this crazy cocktail party and these crazy people were there and I write about that.
Yeah.
And it just flows out. And
right.
That's what people like. they really want to take a, that's why celebrities are so successful who market themselves. They're mysteries, but they're teasing you with just enough information to keep you hooked about, okay, what's next? What's next? I like certain series on like Showtime and HBO and Star, and you know, the writers of these shows are so brilliant because, you know, they leave you with just enough that you can't wait to find next week what's happening.
Yes.
And that's what good writers have to do all the time, is just give enough information that, you know, entices people but makes them want to come back.
You know what, to bring it back to what we started with, you are activating the audience's curiosity and letting their personal interest do the heavy lifting to bring it back. If you can trigger their imagination, their curiosity, now they're doing all that work for you because they themselves want the answer. You're going after their root creativity and engaging it there.
Absolutely. And the number one thing that I always think when I read somebody's materials or watch a show or something is, I don't want it to be predictable. I don't want to be reading something and then I know or can guess what's going to happen. I really, in my book, made a very big point, particularly talking about my life, you know, surprising people with, oh my gosh, you actually lived through that?
Right.
And that's a very important aspect of the way that we write, is that, you know, we don't want to be in any way predictable. Because once we're predictable, people are bored. And once they're bored, they're gone.
Yes, it's true. Aristotle said endings should be inevitable, but also not predictable, but inevitable, but surprising. Inevitable,
exactly.
But surprising, the best end. Well, listen, Lee, this half hour has flown by, and I have one more question. But before I get to that question, I understand that you have a little gift for our listeners, a little primer on the work you do. Can you tell us about that?
I do. I just created, it's a 5-video series, and it's called 5typesofenergy.com, and that's F-I-V-E, typesofenergy.com. And if you go there, there's no charge, we'll deliver you the 5 videos, and they are on mental energy, physical energy, emotional energy, spiritual energy, and financial energy. And I talk about this a great deal in my book, but you know, in these shows, we don't have enough time to really, you know, go into all
right.
that kind of energy. But as a writer, for every person out there, your success is all determined by your time. And your time is everything. And these 5 energies are your life currencies. And so if you just watch these videos, it'll give you a lot of information about literally, you know, how to say no more often to, you know, neighbors unnecessarily bothering you because you're at home and they don't think you actually work.
Right.
And just little silly things like that about, you know, money and the currency of money, and money has energy, and, you know, how to get it to flow towards you. So it's a gift that I did for, you know, my clients, and I just thought I would just share it. So, again, if you just go to www.5typesofenergy.com, sign up, you'll get the free videos and get to see me and all kinds of fun stuff, and it's all free.
That is awesome. Okay, everybody, you got that, and they can always go to miltier.com, right, if they want to learn more about you.
Yes, and that's miltier. Yes, miltier.com, and you can see all my books. I've done hundreds of educational products.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, Lee, I got time for one more question for you. Are you ready? This is a
yes.
You got to finish a sentence for me. And here it is. Finish the sentence. If writing has taught me anything, it's taught me what?
It has taught me that I have something valuable to share with the world that can change their life.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, you do, Lee. You do indeed. Listen, good luck. Reclaim the magic. Give us the subtitle one more time.
The subtitle is The Real Secrets to Manifesting Anything You Want. And by the way, it made Amazon bestseller in May. And that was not by accident by anybody's stretch of the imagination. That was a real concerned, deliberate intention, desire, and I got a lot of people to help me. I gave them rewards for helping me, but, I mean, I gathered the troops because it's very hard as an individual to get a book into a best-selling position. You've really got to get people to, you know, share the book and talk about the book and, you know, help you make it, and so we did, and I'm very proud
of
that.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, congratulations, Lee. Couldn't think of a nicer person to have the success, and I look forward to your next book coming down the pike. I'm sure there'll be another soon enough.
Well, actually, just 2 weeks ago, I did get another book out. It's called The Magic of Prayers. It's a tiny little book. It's in Amazon. And my last book, Reclaim the Magic, is 300 pages. The new book is literally like 48 pages.
Okay.
And we're gonna, you know, we sell it for like 99 cents. And the strategy of doing that is if you write a little book that people really like, you know, and you sell it on Amazon for like 99 cents, then now you've been introduced to people. They like that. They'll go look at everything else that you have.
That's
so
right.
It's a good,
that's the strategy.
It's a great strategy, and it works.
That's excellent. Well, Lee, thank you so much. Best of luck, and I hope we get to chat again.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You've got something, you know, Lee's not the only one with something valuable to share. Everybody does. You just got to believe in it. That's what you got to do. Listen, next week I'll be here again. Going to be talking to Mitch Horowitz. Until then, go out there and do something you love. It'll just make the world a better place.